Okay. Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipano Sat Dharma Sang Sthapako
Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipuno Sat Dharma Sang Sthapako
Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipanao Sat Dharma Sang Sthapako
Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipuno Sat Dharma Sang Sthapako
Lokanang Hita Karana Pribhuvane Manyo Charan Yakaro
Lokanam Hitakarino Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanyakaro
Lokanam Hitakarino Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanyakaro
Lokanamitakarino tribhuvane manyo sharanyakaro
Radha Krishna Padaravinda bhajanam andena matthalika
Radha Padaravinda bhajana Nandena mataliko
Radha Krishna Padaravinda bhajana Nandena mataliko
Radha Krishna Padaravinda bhajana Mandena Matalika
Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyaga Shri Jiva Gopalaka
Rupa Sanatana Raghuyaga Shri Jiva Gopalaka
Vande 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 Rupa Sanatana Raghuyaga Shri Jiva Gopalaka
I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, namely Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Dasa Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of, because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha Krishna. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Trinadapi, Sunechena, Taror, Eva, Sahishnuna, Amanina, Manadena, Kirtaniya, Sadahari. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Iva Kevalam. Hello, Nastyeva, 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 Gatir Anyata. Welcome, everybody, to our monthly and then bi-monthly program, morning program here at Sri Jidam. It is a great, great day of vocation for me, having come, done many, many programs here throughout the years, many, many, and now we are resuming once again. May Krishna bless the Mehta family so that their plans come true and they can engage fully, full time in the devotional service here at Sri Jidam and also around the world. Krishna Prema, our co-GBC here, has requested that I do a summary of the first 11 chapters because we have previously did 11 chapters. So before we go to chapter 12, I will give a summary chapter by chapter of the subject matter. If you are ready to proceed, repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the first chapter, characteristics of pure devotional service, and Prabhupada via Rupa Goswami says that there are six characteristics of pure devotional service. Number one, pure devotional service brings immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. Number two, pure devotional service is the beginning of all auspiciousness. Number three, pure devotional service puts one in transcendental pleasure. Number four, pure devotional service is rarely achieved. Number five, those in pure devotional service deride even the conception of liberation. And number six, pure devotional service is the only means to attract Krishna. So that is the summary of chapter one. Now chapter two, the first stages of devotion. In this chapter, and throughout most of this nectar of devotion, you will find the root or the foundation of this book in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami and also Sanatan Goswami. You will see that in the Madhya Lila, that what is explained here is given in a synopsis form by Lord Chaitanya. So the first verse that summarizes chapter 2, the famous verse, the verse that Prabhupada quotes over and over again, which describes pure devotional service. If you know it, chant along with me. And you should know it. Those of you who are my students should know this verse. Anyabilashita shunyam jnana karmadyanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. If you knew that verse, you are doing good. When first class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires, knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy, and fruitive action. So those are the three things that are devoid in pure devotional service. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. And I always like to point out, not as I desire. It is as Krishna desires. I may feel like doing something. No, that's not the criteria. what is favorable to Krishna's senses, not necessarily mine. For instance, in order to come to this program today, some of you might have had to get up a little extra earlier than you normally would. To your senses, it's not very pleasing. But it is pleasing to Krishna that you got up earlier than normal and you came to the program. Next verse, which is the general description of devotional service. If you know this verse, then you have passed your Nirantara examination. Sarvopadi Banirmuktang Tat Paratvena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchyate. Bhakti or devotional service means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of all senses. That name for Krishna, Master of all senses? Rishikesh. Everybody say? When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. One is freed from all material designations, and one's senses are purified simply by being employed in the service of the Lord. Now, in this chapter also, Prabhupada, via Rupa Goswami, quotes the famous verse of Lord Chaitanya. Now, if you know this verse, then you're in the upper echelon of your studies. Because this is a core teaching of Lord Chaitanya. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kavunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karaye Udoy. The Bengali, if you don't know it, that's okay. But the translation, you should all know. Pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of the living entities. It is not something to be gained from another source. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, this love naturally awakens. So that's a very fundamental principle of Lord Chaitanya. That already there in you is love for Krishna. It simply has to be awakened. And what did he say? Hearing and chanting is how that's awakened. Now Prabhupada continues. I went through the chapter and found the essential elements. The three categories of devotional service, which Rupa Goswami describes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, are listed as, number one, devotional service in practice, number two, devotional service in ecstasy, and number three, devotional service in pure love of God. There are many subheadings in each of these categories. So the entire Nectar of Devotion explains these three categories of devotional service. Prabhupada continues. So the first one was devotional service, well, practice. Now this sadhana bhakti, or practice of devotional service, may also be divided into two parts. The first part is called service according to regulative principles. One has to follow these different regulative principles by the order of the, yes, spiritual master, or on the strength of authoritative scriptures. And there can be no question of refusal. This is called vaidhi, or regulated. One has to do it without argument. Another part of sadhana bhakti, or devotional service in practice, is called raganuga. Raganuga refers to the point at which, by following the regulative principles, one becomes a little more attached to Krishna and executes devotional service out of natural love. Why natural? Because what did Lord Chaitanya say? Love of God is what? Already there. So therefore it's natural. Just like You cannot light the match unless it already has the ability inherent to turn into fire. Okay. So, the two categories of sadhana, regulative principles, vaidhi or raganuga. Now, also in this chapter, Rupa Goswami and Prabhupada both refer to the verse spoken by Lord Chaitanya, which is considered to be the mother of all regulative principles, because coming up in the next chapters will be the 64 items of devotional service. But of all those 64, this verse is where they all come from. Hopefully you are familiar with this verse. Smartavya satatang vishnur. Vismartavyo na jatuchit. Sarve vidhi nishedhasyur etayor eva kinkara. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be the servants of these two principles. So what are the two principles? Always remember and never forget. Of those two, which one is more important? No, never forget. Because when two things are stated, the second one takes precedence over the first. If you never forget, that means you're always remembering. So, very good. So that's the gist of chapter 2. Now we go to chapter 3. Eligibility of the candidate for accepting devotional service. I picked out the most important items. A faithful devotee is a truly eligible candidate for the loving service of the Lord. According to one's faith, one is classified as a topmost devotee, intermediate devotee, or inferior devotee. So what was the key distinguishing factor? Faith. All right? That is what distinguishes whether you're a Kanishtha, a Madhyam, or an Uttama Adhikari. Now these quotes are taken from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, as I said, because all of this nectar of devotion is based on what Lord Chaitanya taught. So the best way to give the synopsis, go to the source. So what does Lord Chaitanya say? One who is expert in logic, argument, and the revealed scriptures, and who has firm faith in Krishna, is classified as a topmost devotee. He can deliver the whole world. One who is expert in logic and in understanding the revealed scriptures, and who always has firm conviction and deep faith that is not blind, is to be considered a topmost devotee in the devotional service. Obviously, if he's expert in logic and argument and the revealed scriptures, how can he be blindly following? Blindly following means you don't know anything. You're just doing it because somebody's telling you, which is okay. But if you want to be a topmost, you have to know why you're doing what you're doing. Number two, one who is not very expert in argument and logic based on the revealed scriptures, but who has firm faith, is considered second-class devotee. He also must be considered most fortunate. Now, Prabhupada used to say, we should all come at least to this second class devotee. Now that's Lord Chaitanya. He says a second class devotee is most fortunate. One who does not know scriptural argument very well, but who has firm faith, is called an intermediate or second class devotee. Then number three, the position from which everybody starts. That's also mentioned by Prabhupada. Don't get offended. We all start off from the neophyte platform. One whose faith is soft and pliable is called a neophyte. But by gradually following the process, he or she will rise to the platform of a first-class devotee. So how do you become a first-class? Following the process. Same thing is mentioned by Prabhupada in Nectar of Instruction, another book by Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada says right there, I'll show you if you don't believe me. Prabhupada says that if you complete your prescribed number of rounds, how many? Okay, of what mantra? The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And you strictly follow the four regulative principles, not three and a half, not three, all four. If you do those two things, you are gradually elevated step by step to the position of Uttama Adhikari. That's all you have to do. Chant 16 rounds. What did Prabhupada used to say? Chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, you'll go back home, back to Godhead when? This life. Very good. So, same thing. Lord Chaitanya is saying, if you follow the process, you become a first class. Prabhupada says, this is how to do it. Chant 16 rounds, follow the four principles, you become an Uttama Adhikari. Just simply a question. Just let's do it. All right. Then Prabhupada finishes this chapter, because the chapter was eligibility. Prabhupada says, it can be concluded that a person who's freed from the bodily conception of life is an eligible candidate for pure devotional service. Gee, that reminds me, what did Krishna start Bhagavad Gita with? Radha Krishna Vasalila? What did Krishna start with? You're not the body. So, that's the first step, and if you notice, if you listen carefully to so many lectures Prabhupada has given, what does he talk about all the time? You're not the body. Because he knows there's no point in going further unless this point is completely understood, that I'm not the body. Let's go now to chapter 4, summary of chapter 4. Devotional service surpasses all liberation, because that was one of the six items of pure devotional service. So he's going to discuss it. So in this chapter, the chapter basically is verse after verse after verse, all kinds of references showing that devotional service is beyond liberation. That's the whole chapter. I picked this one because it's one of my favorite. Lord Brahma is praying to Krishna after the incident where Brahma stole the boys and calves. So one of the prayers Lord Brahma offered, Shreyasvatim bhaktim udasyate vibho klishyanti ye kevala bodha labdaye teshamasau kleshala eva shishyate nanyad yata stula tusha vigatinam. My dear Lord, devotional service unto you is the only auspicious path. If one gives it up simply for speculative knowledge or the understanding that these living beings are spirit souls and the material world is false, one undergoes a great deal of trouble. One only gains troublesome and inauspicious activities. One's endeavors are like beating a husk that is already devoid of rice. One's labor becomes fruitless. So Lord Brahma is saying, bhakti, devotional service, is beyond any other process. Now, there is a very famous verse by Lord Kapila when speaking to his mother. Salokya sarshti samipya sarupyai katvam apyuta, diyamanang nagrinanti vina matsevanang jana. Again, the chapter is, devotional service is beyond liberation. What does Kapila say? My devotees do not accept salokya, sarshti, sarupya, samipya, or oneness with me. Even if I offer these liberations, they do not accept it in preference to serving me. So those were the five kinds of liberation. Living on the same planet, having equal opulence, having equal status, living with the same form as the Lord, or the worst one of all, merging. So Kapila Dev says, my devotees, they won't accept any of these. They would rather serve me. And the same thing is mentioned more than once in the Dhammadarashtakam prayers. If you ever carefully read those translations, the author is saying, I don't care for any kind of boon in Vaikuntha. I simply want to remember this pastime of Balagopal. So it's the same mood. That pure devotee. Oh, and what does Lord Chaitanya say? Mama Janmani. You all know that one, right? Mama Janmani Janmani Ishwara Bhavatad Bhaktir. I want the salary of ecstatic love. Nishant is a doctor. He's not going to go to the medical board and say, you know, you don't have to pay me. I just want ecstatic love for you. Are you going to say that, Nishant? I don't think so. But if you were working for Krishna directly, then that's what you would say, wouldn't it? You would say to Krishna, Krishna, I just want ecstatic love of your lotus feet. I was just reading yesterday a passage in the Mahabharata. After Arjuna and Krishna enabled Agni wanted to consume the Kandava forest, but he needed the help of Krishna and Arjuna. So afterwards, one of the demons that was trying to escape from the fire was this Mayadhanava. And Krishna was about to kill him. So Mayadhanava, being very smart, took shelter of Arjuna. So Arjuna said, okay. So then Krishna didn't kill Mayadhanava because he took shelter of Arjuna. So then Mayadhanava wanted to give Arjuna a benediction. Arjuna said, no, it's not necessary. But Mayadhanava insisted, no, I have to give you. So then Arjuna said, okay, if you want to give me a benediction, you have to satisfy Krishna. So Krishna was smiling. So Krishna said, okay, then I want you to build for the Pandavas this very special assembly house. And then Mayadhanava wanted to give a benediction to Krishna. You know what Krishna said? Krishna said, yes, make it so my friendship with Arjuna is never broken. Isn't that nice? How Krishna... And it was Krishna who drove the chariot for Arjuna when he was... And it was saying that Krishna was driving so far, so fast around the forest, it was as if he was always there at every point. He was just zooming around the forest. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Alright, chapter 5, the purity of devotional service. As we say in ISKCON, purity is the force. Those of you who are doing deity worship in New Dwaraka, that's one of the things that's impressed upon you. Always being very, very clean. Okay, Prabhupada says, all the previous instructions imparted by Srila Rupa Goswami in his broad statements can be summarized thus. As long as one is materially inclined or desirous of merging into the spiritual effulgence, one cannot enter into the realm of pure devotional service. Rupa Goswami states, That devotional service is transcendental to all material considerations, and that it is not limited to any particular country, class, society, or circumstance. Yes, we just got finished saying, Lord Chaitanya said it's already there in the heart. Lord Chaitanya didn't say it's only in the hearts of the Hindus. It's in the heart of every living entity. So, here, Rupa Goswami is elaborating. Yes, it's not limited to a particular country or class. Even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Manghi Partha Vyapasritya Yepi Su Papayonaya. Even the lower born people can take to devotional service. Everyone can achieve perfection. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service is transcendental and has no cause. Devotional service is executed without any hope for gain, and it cannot be checked by any material circumstances. It is open for all without any distinction, and it is the constitutional occupation of the living entities. You've heard me tell the story so many times. Madhuvis Das and the devotees in Australia are in jail because they were chanting on the street. So they wrote Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you told us to chant on the street. Now we're in jail. What has Prabhupada said? What are you worried about? Chant in the jail. In other words, there's no restriction. They chanted in jail, they let him go. You let him go. So there are no checks. And if you, perhaps you have read some of the accounts of the early devotees in Russia who were imprisoned and tortured, and how they made japa beads out of bread and something else. They would take their beads away. That's all right. They made their own beads in the jail. So if anybody knows, there's no material check. Those early devotees in Russia, they know. All right, so a big verse that is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is mentioned in this chapter. Yata kanchanatang yati kangsang yasa vidhanata tata diksha vidhanena dvijitvang jayate nirnam. As bell metal is turned to gold when mixed with mercury in an alchemical process, so one who is properly trained and initiated by a bona fide spiritual master immediately becomes a Brahman. So the two things, training and initiating by a bona fide spiritual master. Now Prabhupada tells the story about this alchemical process. Bell metal, you can turn to gold when mixed with mercury. There's a catch. Because you just can't go buy the mercury and put it on the bell metal and it... No. Prabhupada tells the trick. You have to ingest the mercury. It comes out of your urine. That goes on the bell metal. Now you've got your gold. But Dr. Nishant, what happens if you ingest mercury? You die. So you got to be that kind of Brahmin who can ingest mercury, urinate it, and not die. Then you can turn bell metal. Not so fast. But if you can do it, here's the thing. If you can do it, pretty far out. All right. Another verse found in this chapter. This is a verse. It's Narada speaking to Krishna's father, Vasudev. But he's telling the story of the Navayogendras and the King Maharaj Nimi. So one of the statements. Devarshi bhutapte nirnang pritrinang nakinkaro nayam rini charajan sarvatmana yat sharanam sharanyam gato mukundang parhiritya kartam. One who has given up all material duties and taken full shelter at the lotus feet of Mukunda, who gives shelter to all. Such a person is not indebted to the demigods, great sages, ordinary living beings, relatives, friends, mankind, or even one's forefathers who have passed away. So you just fully engage in devotional service, all your obligations are taken care of. Similar statement by Narada to Vyasadeva when he's instructing him about writing Srimad Bhagavatam. Chakvasa dharmang charanam bhujang harer bhajannapakbota patetato yadi yatrakvava badram abud amushiking kovarta apto bhajatang svadharmata. One who has forsaken material occupations to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage. Yet there is no danger of being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. So even you try for devotional service and you're unsuccessful, you're still not the loser, because you still get credit just for trying. If Nishant, as a doctor, he doesn't get credit just for trying. He has to do his work. Or my good friend Krishna Kumar, when he does his emissions testing, he can't just try. He's got to do the job. Right? Or you all know, in your work, you can't go to your boss and say, "I tried." What do you think your boss is going to... "Well, then I'm going to try and pay you." Yeah. No, on the material plane, you've got to do the work. Right? You've got to actually do the work. But unlike that, devotional service is different. You get credit just for the effort. My favorite example, Jatayu. Was Jatayu successful? No, he didn't rescue Sita. And in fact, Ravan killed him. But spiritually, yes, because he's rendering devotional service. So even though he was unable to capture Sita, still, who showed up at the time of his death? Ram. Where do you think Jatayu went? He went back to Ayodhya Loka, Ram Loka, yes. Now there's another verse quoted in this chapter which is significant. Svatana mulam bhajatak priyasya chakchanya bhavasya hari pareshaha vikarna yachchot patitang katanchid dunoti sarvang hridi sannivishta. This is from the Uddhava Gita, 11th canto. One who has given up all other engagements and has taken full shelter at the lotus feet of Hari is very dear to the Lord. Indeed, such a surrendered soul may accidentally commit some sinful activity, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within everyone's heart, immediately takes away the reaction to such sin. Now, we should not take advantage of that and think, "Oh, wow, Krishna is going to take away the reaction to sins I commit." Is that the thinking? No. Prabhupada explains, one time, you're excused. Two times, you're excused. Three times, you're excused. But if something becomes a habit, Krishna smashes. So we can't take advantage, because there is a religion, some followers, they preach like that. You believe in this Son of God, and doesn't matter, you're saved. That's not our philosophy. A couple of times you can be excused. But after that, Krishna takes care of you one way or the other. Chapter 6 begins, okay, from chapter 6 through 11, the 64 items of devotional service are explained one by one. Now, out of those 64, listen to this very nice verse. Lord Chaitanya spoke this verse to Sanatan. Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavat Shravan Mathura Vasri Matira Shradaya Sevan Sakala Sadhana Shrestha A Pancha Anga Krishna Prema Janmaye Panchera Alpa Sangha. So out of the 64 items, number one, one should associate with devotees. Why are you doing that today? Chant the holy name. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Reside at Mathura. Well, elsewhere it says Mathura or a holy place. Or, what's the name of this place? Sriji Dham? I think it qualifies. Worship the deity with faith and veneration. We hit the trifecta. We did all five today. Now what does Lord Chaitanya say? These five limbs of devotional service are the best of all 64. These five. Let's go over them. Associate with devotees. Chant the holy name. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Reside at a holy place. Worship the deity with faith and veneration. These five limbs of now listen carefully, this is Lord Chaitanya. These five limbs of devotional service are the best. Even a slight performance of these five awakens love for Krishna. Slight! The power of these five principles is very wonderful and difficult to understand. Now this is the best one. This is Lord Chaitanya. Even without faith in them, a person who is offenseless can awaken dormant love for Krishna simply by being a little connected with them. So even if you're just innocent and you're not offensive, your love of Krishna can be awakened. Prabhupada, knowing this, this is how he started this movement. What did Prabhupada do? First thing, he created a what? International Society for Krishna Consciousness, so we'd be able to associate. How did Prabhupada start this movement? Chanting under a tree. Alright? And then they would come back to the storefront. Prabhupada would give class. Little by little, they instituted deity worship. And then Prabhupada wanted to establish temples, and also his three major temples, Vrindavan, Mayapur, Bombay. So the whole ISKCON movement is based on these five principles. Krishna Prem has been with me ever since I started Namahat programs. Haven't we always done this? This is what we have done. And therefore, here we are today. That's why you're initiated. That's why you're on the altar of New Dwarka. Who'd ever think? Right? You're on the altar of New Dwarka. All because of these five items of devotional service. Everybody chant. So finishing up, chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami begin to explain one by one the 64 items of devotional service. So that takes us to where we are today, chapter 12. Shall we begin chapter 12? Let's chant the Maha Mantra one time. Krishna Prem, I am really looking forward to doing this monthly program.
Me too.
Really, really looking forward. Oh, this is great. All right, are you ready for chapter 12? Chapter 12 is entitled, Further Aspects of Transcendental Service. So the first one, Hearing the Revealed Scriptures. According to Srila Rupa Goswami, any book which gives enlightenment in the matter of advancing in devotional service is considered to be revealed scripture. Srila Madhvacharya has also defined revealed scriptures as referring to books such as the Ramayana. Oh, look at the next one, Krishna Kumar. Mahabharata. That's the book I'm currently studying. Gee, it's a revealed scripture. Puranas, Upanishads, Vedanta, any other literature written in pursuance of such revealed scriptures. In the Skanda Purana, there is this statement. A person who is constantly engaged in reading literature enunciating the cult of Vaishnava devotional service is always glorious in human society, and certainly Lord Krishna becomes pleased with him. A person who very carefully keeps such literature at home and offers respectful obeisances to it becomes freed from all sinful reactions and ultimately becomes worshipable by the demigods. Wow. It is also said to Narada Muni, quote, My dear Narada, a person who writes Vaishnava literature and keeps such literature at home has Lord Narayan always residing in his house. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, 13th chapter, verse 15, it is stated, Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. Any person who has become attached in some way or other to the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam cannot have any taste for reading any other literature. In other words, a person who has relished the transcendental bliss of Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be satisfied with mundane writings. Your question, sir. Then at least read and hear. Yes, then you're just as good. But you have written some Back to Godhead articles, and your son has also written, and you can keep a diary of your transcendental realizations. There's nothing wrong with that. I write my songs, so you can write like that. But if you can't write, then at least relish and read. As the words in the Bhagavata, Pibata, drink through oral reception. That's how you drink Srimad Bhagavatam, because it's nectar. But that nectar you drink through your ears. Next one, residing in Mathura. So we're picking up now on the five main items. Just like that, wow. In the Varaha Purana, there is a statement praising the residential quarters of Mathura. Lord Varaha tells the men of earth, any person who becomes attached to places other than Mathura will certainly be captivated by the illusory energy. In the Brahmanda Purana, it is said that all the results of traveling on all the pilgrimage within the three worlds can be achieved simply by touching the holy land of Mathura. In many Shastra scriptures, it is said that simply by hearing, remembering, glorifying, desiring, seeing, or touching the land of Mathura, one can achieve all desires. So even by hearing or remembering, you've all been to Mathura Vrindavan? I bet you if you close your eyes, you can still see it. I know I can. If I close my eyes, I can go back to the first day I touched Vrindavan, June 1975. And I told the rickshawwala, stop. I got off the rickshaw and I rolled in the dust of Vrindavan. Because I had read Krishna book, and that's what Akura did. So I said, I'm going to do what Akura does. But if you close your eyes, you can picture, right? Different things about Vrindavan. Because it's very vivid. It's the Holy Dham. Yes, Ramanreti is Vrindavan. Very good. Ramanreti, that's where Krishna and Balaram used to tend the calves. Yes. All right, let's go to the next one. Rendering service to devotees. In the Padma Purana, there is a nice statement praising the service of Vaishnavas or devotees. In that scripture, Lord Shiva tells Parvati, my dear Parvati, there are different methods of worship, and out of all such message, the worship of the Supreme Person is to be considered the highest. But even higher than the worship of the Lord is the worship of the Lord's devotees. A similar statement is in the third canto, 7th chapter, verse 19 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Quote, let me become a sincere servant of the devotees, because by serving them, one can achieve unalloyed devotional service unto the lotus feet of the Lord. The service of devotees diminishes all miserable material conditions and develops within one a deep devotional love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, whenever I do a Nectar of Devotion class, I am reminded that the whole mood of this Nectar of Devotion is one of relishing. The whole flavor of, like Bhagavad Gita has a certain flavor to it. Srimad Bhagavatam has a flavor. But when you read this Nectar of Devotion, it's simply meant for relishing. Getting nice, fuzzy, nice feelings about Krishna consciousness. If you read Nectar of Devotion, you cannot be in a bad mood. It has to make you feel nice. And if you don't like Nectar of Devotion, then probably there's a problem. You probably got a problem if you can't appreciate Nectar of Devotion. In the Skanda Purana, there is a similar statement. Persons whose bodies are marked with tilak. Are you wearing your tilak? Persons whose bodies are marked with tilak, symbolizing the concha, wheel, club, and lotus, and who keep the leaves of tulsis on their heads, and whose bodies are always decorated with gopi chandan, even seen once, can help the seer be relieved from all sinful activities. I know, but we do have the tilak, the gopi chandan. When Archita and I do the high schools and colleges, I always say to the students, students, keep looking at me. Because by looking at me, I am burning up so much karma for you. You can thank me later, but keep looking at me. And you'd be surprised, they appreciate that. Because I'm just quoting from Nectar of Devotion. I'm burning up their karma. They should be throwing millions of dollars at me. But they'd rather throw that money at Dwight Howard. But they're not going to throw it on me. Yeah, they have to look at the forehead. Yes, tilak. Prabhupada said, this is the most important one. Out of all the ones, this is the most important. A similar statement is found in 1st Canto, 19th chapter, verse 33 of Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no doubt about one's becoming freed from all reactions to sinful activities after visiting a devotee or touching his lotus feet or giving him a sitting place. Even by remembering the activities of such a Vaishnava, one becomes purified along with one's whole family. And what then can be said of rendering direct service to him? So all of you have spiritual masters, either you're initiated or you're aspiring. So listen to this. Just remembering different things about him, you purify yourself and your family. Just by remembering, as it says here, remembering the activities. Here in this house, Lokanath Maharaj has come so many times, and other great Vaishnavas and Sannyasis have come. So many. So just by remembering all that, you purify your whole family. Yes. Very good. Excellent. I am also now doing videos myself, following in your footsteps. Alright? In the Adi Purana, there is the following statement by Lord Krishna himself, addressed to Arjuna. This, of course, is a famous one. My dear Partha, one who claims to be my devotee is not so. Only a person who claims to be the devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee. Prabhupada used to chastise us, his disciples. You are not Vaishnavas. You are servants of the Vaishnavas. No one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. One must approach him through his pure devotees. Therefore, in the system of Vaishnava activities, the first duty is to accept a devotee as spiritual master and then to render service unto him. Srila Rupa Goswami affirms that all the quotations given in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu from different scriptures are accepted by the great acharyas and devotees of the Lord. So Krishna Prema, it's 10 o'clock. Do you want to stop here? I think we should stop here and let's continue with the next part of the program. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra, please. Very good.